not necessarily those of our advertisers or staff.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Live from the WGNS studio in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, this is the Financial Doctor Show, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. If you're like me and you're tired of one-size-fits-all financial talk radio, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner and fee-only financial life coach. This is a show about real financial planning, no hidden agenda, no one-size-fits-all baby steps here, just sound, unbiased, objective help with your money. And if you want to talk with me live on the air, questions, comments, good or bad, give me a call, 893-1450. Again, 893-1450. And if you go to Financial Doctors with an S, I'll say it again, financialdoctors.net with an S, you'll find our links to our email and our Facebook page. Send us a question via email or message us on Facebook. We'll do our best to answer your questions live during the show today. And if you ever have missed a show, or you think you may miss a show in the future, you can replay every broadcast of every show we've done by going to the archive section at financialdoctors.net. And for everything and anything you'd like to know about me, your host, Jason Qualls, CFP, and the process I have developed called financial or fee-only financial life coaching, go to jasonwqualls.com. Glad you're with us today, and you have your radio locked into WGNS, and welcome to the show. And the topic today, many of you out there still have children living under your roof, or at the very least, you have grandchildren under your roof or not. And each of you are in a position to make a huge impact on their lives. So today, we're going to focus on helping the next generation. I've heard it many times from people of all ages. They say things like they wish they would have been taught more about how to handle money while they were in school. But when people say things like this, what do they mean? They really mean they wish someone, or anyone for that matter, would have just taught them more about money when they were growing up or when they were younger. So, and when they think that, they think, well, just maybe they could have avoided some of the stupid money mistakes that many of us have made in their adult life. And in my opinion, going back to the school comment, we don't need to rely on the school system to teach our children about money. As grandparents and parents, that is in our job description. And unfortunately, money plays a significant role in everyone's life, and that can't be avoided. So children are no exception to that rule. Teaching our kids about money and how to manage money can serve them big time later on in their life. And it's just as important, in my opinion, as teaching them right from wrong and also encouraging them to make good grades in school. So today on the Financial Doctors Radio Show, this entire show is dedicated to teaching your kids and my kids all about money. But first, if you're a newbie to the show, what are we all about? Well, let me tell you a couple of my core beliefs that are the underlying foundation of this show. I started my career in financial services over a decade ago. I'm one of a handful of certified financial planners in this area. I have a bachelor's degree in finance and master's in business administration with an emphasis in accounting. And all that means is I have lots of formal training, education, and also experience to go along with my background. But did you know that most people out there running around calling themselves financial advisors have zero credentials and zero educational background in finance? They don't. That's the truth. That's the actuality. Ask your financial advisor, what's their background? And my time in the business, or during my time in the business, I've witnessed a lot of people out there calling themselves financial advisors, but in reality, they are nothing more than salespeople. And they hate it when I call them that. They despise it. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine that's on the sales side of the business over the weekend, and we had a pretty heated discussion about it. But what do I mean when I call them salespeople? Well, most financial advisors, if you let them call themselves that, they primarily get paid to sell you things like high-cost mutual funds, annuity products, and life insurance policies. They don't want you to know that. They want you to think that they're a financial advisor. But people, they are salespeople. and they get pretty offended when you call them that. Now, there are a few of us, like me, that actually do get paid to only to provide sound financial advice, but very few of us. But if you're working with a financial salesperson, you, the client, have almost no way of knowing whether the recommendations your advisor is making are in your best interest or the best interest of the advisor. And this way of doing business, I guarantee you, is one of the biggest sources of the stress you will feel or are feeling in your financial life. I passionately believe there's a better way for you to receive financial advice. And that way is known as fee-only financial planning. And what does that mean when I say that? Well, a fee-only financial planner does not sell financial products. As simple as that. I am a fee-only financial planner. My process is simple. It's transparent. I only get paid for advising my clients on what's best for them. That's simple. My process also covers your entire financial life, from your budget to your investments to your estate plan. And I don't talk about that enough, but when you're dealing with someone that's a product salesperson that's selling mutual funds and insurance and annuity products, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they don't care what your budget is going on with your budget. They don't care what's going on with your estate plan. They just want to sell you a mutual fund and a life insurance and a variable annuity and get out the door. And they hate it even more when I say that about them. But my practice is devoted to, and this show is devoted to, zero conflicts of interest. Sound, unbiased, objective financial help. And lastly, now there are a lot of other financial talk radio shows out there for you to listen to. So we're glad you're with us today, tuning into WGNS. But the other radio show hosts out there want you to believe that financial planning is simple. They water down financial advice into baby steps, and they regurgitate all that back off on the radio. And then they try to put all that into a book and sell that book to you, and they also want you to come to one of their seminars. But financial planning is just not that easy. There is no one-size-fits-all approach, and especially no one-size-fits-all approach that's right for everyone. You need specialized, objective help based on your situation. Now, I promise to always give it to you straight. Some of the concepts we will and already have talked about on this show up to this point can be and are difficult to understand at times. But we try our very best to communicate each of those concepts as easily as possible. But the main goal here is just to give you some basic knowledge. So then you may be able to go out there, make an assessment about where your plan is lacking, and then contact a true financial planner. Someone who does not sell financial products. And then get on the game plan, get a real financial plan. I hope that makes some sense. So for more about the show, go to financialdoctors.net. For more about me, Jason, WQualls.com. Or just give me a call, 878-2134. And we can sit down, we can talk about what's going on with your current advisor, what's going on with your current financial plan, and just get an unbiased second opinion. But if you want to chime in with us today live on the air, 893-1450, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into teaching your kids all about money. You're listening to the Financial Doctors Radio Show. Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Luchtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Hi, this is Dusty Brown, owner and artist for Dusty Brown Style, a line of distinct accessories and apparel with style and quality, all handcrafted in my Murfreesboro studio. When it comes to my line, each bead is hand-picked for the perfect visual appeal. You'll find beaded necklaces, bracelets, and sterling silver earrings that can't be mistaken for mass-produced big-box items, hitting all of the right notes and created for you by me, Dusty Brown. My color combos and materials set a Dusty Brown piece apart. Antique keys, watches, and lockets adorn sterling silver, copper, and brass chains. Gemstones, wood, and glass beads give my clients quality over quantity. My leather clutches and cuffs are hand-cut from the hide and dyed for the perfect look. If you like what you've heard, take a look at Sugaree's on the Square, Reeves Sane Drugstore, Lime Tiger Studio located on Maple, the Chamber Gift Shop, or MTMC's Gift Shop for Dusty Brown Style. Visit www.dustybrown.net or call 615-439-7836.
Is it time to get rid of that old, worn-out carpet in your home? Replace it with something that enhances not only the beauty, but also the value of your home. Hardwood flooring is the way to go. Stop wasting money on new carpet every 5 years and replace it with something that lasts. Call the folks at Jonathan's Flooring at 207-9680. They specialize in custom sand and finish hardwood, pre-finished hardwood, and all types of laminate flooring. Want to hear something cool? They've been serving Murfreesboro for 12 years, and they have over 100 years of combined experience. And Jonathan's Flooring has a deal for all my listeners. There will be any written estimate from any legitimate competitor and also guarantee a higher quality of work. So call Jonathan's Flooring today at 615-207-9680 or find them online by going to Jason Recommends at financialdoctors.net.
Your home is your largest investment. If you have storm damage, are looking to remodel, or even to replace your old drafty windows and doors, the quality of work matters when it comes to adding to the value of your home. Don't hire a fly-by-night contractor. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or just drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office. They are a locally owned family business located right here in your hometown. A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau with over 50 years of combined experience. Here's just a few of their specialties. Asphalt and metal roofing, Energy Extreme Vista windows, siding, seamless gutters, and all types of doors for your home. And all work offered by Residential Services of Middle Tennessee is backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. You can count on them to be around since they have been serving our community since 2004. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or online at rsmti.com. And don't forget to drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office and mention the Financial Doctors Radio Show to get 10% off today.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctors Radio Show, where cookie cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. Questions, comments today, 893-1450, or go to the website financialdoctors.net and click email the show. Joining me in the studio is Mike Workman of Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. They are an independent insurance agency, meaning they work for you, the customer, the client, not the large insurance companies. They can shop many, many carriers out there and save you tons of money on home and auto insurance. Check them out online, mid10insgroup.com, mid10insgroup.com, or give them a call, 898-0053. And Grant will be proud. I got the phone number right today. Mike's going to share with us the deal of the week from Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, and also give us a real-life example of how they save their clients hundreds on home and auto insurance. Welcome, Mike.
Good afternoon, Jason. Thanks for having us. Glad to be here. The topic that you're discussing today is really kind of hits home to me as something that's kind of been on my mind here lately. We as parents spend all of our time and efforts into, you know, making sure our kids have clothes and food and shelter and all that stuff, and protecting them from harms and harm's way and et cetera. And, we sometimes forget about the money part, teaching them about financial responsibility. So great show today.
I hope so. I spent a lot of time working on the content today, and I have a little bit of experience with that. I do have a child and wished he would have been a part of the show, but he's on the soccer field as we speak right now.
Yeah, I'm heading to the T-ball field after this show, so know what you mean. Nonetheless, it's some changing times. Insurance companies and the insurance industry across the board is changing as we speak. Deductibles are going up. Premiums are going up. Coverages going away. Nonetheless, our phone is ringing, which is a great thing. So, nonetheless, a lot of people were getting cancellation notice or non-renewal notices, insurance carriers moving out of the state altogether and not continuing on and even doing business in the state of Tennessee.
Well, I hope that people are realizing that they don't need to work with captive insurance agencies. And they're saying, we don't work with the independent agencies. And you guys are one of the few in the area that do that.
That's correct. We like to consider ourselves as a full service insurance agency, and we ask a few more questions that goes beyond the 15 minutes getting an insurance quote. It has a lot to do with one's complete in life financial stability and well-being. So we have to. It's very important for both home and auto insurance.
I haven't sent a customer to you yet and saved them money and also increased their coverage and get them the insurance coverage they need. So it's not all about price. We kind of pound that a lot, but it is also about getting the proper coverage that meets your financial planning needs, and that's what they do over there at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that we've got you covered worst case scenario. Coverages to repair and replace roofs and things like that, which is quite common. That's great and fantastic, but what if on the worst case scenario? That's what insurance is all about, the what ifs. So I don't know if any of you folks, I imagine, have been to the gas pump here this past week or so. It continues to go and go up and up and up. So one way to maybe cut expense elsewhere to even out your budget is shop your insurance. Give us a call at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. Deal of the week, had a client who had been a loyal customer for probably 30 years to a particular insurance company agent. Never looked outside of shopping it, never looked at any other rates or companies or agents or agencies for that matter. Never had a claim up until just about 2 years ago, and had a weather claim and I think something else in between, and then another weather claim here just recently, last fall. Policy's getting ready to renew. Just happens coincidentally that they're purchasing a new house at the same time. So they're getting a non-renewal letter, or got a non-renewal letter for their policy, current policy, just before they were getting ready to close on their house. Someone referred them over to us, and we were able to save them, cut them in half, basically give them about $10,000 more dwelling coverage, and save their premium, cut their premium in half to about $600.
So they were paying $100 a month, and now they're paying $50 a month.
That's correct.
That's awesome.
That's correct. So, again, the times are changing right now. All the carriers are going up across the board. It doesn't matter if it's what we refer to as the captive agents. It's all across the board. Independent agencies, independent carriers, should I say, are all going up. It's just a matter of some are going up a little more than others. 30% and 40% increases from 1 year to the next is pretty hard to swallow.
Well, give them a call, 898-0053, or go to midtennisgroup.com. Ask for Mike Workman, ask for Grant, and let them spend some time with you. At the very least, let them see if they can save you money. But they'll also take a look at and make sure you're doing, or you own the exact proper coverage regarding your insurance planning needs on home and auto. And let me add one other part, kind of going off the first part of the show when I talk about the other people in the industry. As a driver, I've always owned auto insurance, and as a homeowner back from 2002, I've always owned homeowners insurance in some form. But it wasn't until that I had to study it to become a certified financial planner that I even knew what anything meant about auto insurance. So your advisor out there, 9 times out of 10, has no background in understanding home and auto insurance. And without my just own training and then talking with you guys over at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group and learning more about what's the proper coverage for a person, that allows me to expand my practice and make sure my clients are doing the exact right thing. So I want to commend you guys on making sure their clients are covered properly.
Thanks, Jason. I get phone calls and meet with clients all the time who, middle-aged and have owned homes for 30 and 40 years. And, we're quoting them up, going over the coverages. And, these people are asking me all these questions that I would had assume that they would have already known basic questions about what coverages are and coverage limits, things like that, that are standard on standard homeowner policies. And, you know, I can't help but ask the question, you know, didn't your agent previously explain that to you? I mean, this is basic stuff, you know. It's not...
So not only do financial advisors know nothing about it, you got agents that don't know anything about it. Amazing. So get with an independent insurance agency. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Agency, 898-0053, or go to the website, mid10insgroup.com. Anything else you'd like to share with us, Mike, before you head off to the ball game?
I think that's it, Jason. I appreciate you having me here today.
Awesome.
Always great and educational and entertaining for that matter.
Well, let's add the last note. If you give Middle Tennessee Insurance Group a call, they'll, when you quote your home and auto, they will make a donation to the Habitat for Humanity, a $10 donation.
If you mentioned the radio show, yeah, that
call
you
call in and ask for it. Say, heard you on the radio, financial doctors, and just want to shop it, and they'll make that donation for you. But thanks for coming in, Mike, and enjoy the soccer game and this beautiful Saturday.
I appreciate it, Jason. Thank you, sir.
Cool. Well, on to the topic, teaching children about money, one of the most valuable gifts you can do for your child or give your child, or children for that matter, is to teach them good money management skills. And that's why it's been on my agenda to make this a topic for the show since we started it. And, you know, because I have a child, and of course, growing up with great parents, I just wanted to make it a part of a segment, or at least a whole entire show for that matter today. But I want to hopefully show you some basic, easy steps that you can share with your children and help them develop sound money management practices. You know, whether they're preschoolers or they're in high school or college or somewhere in between, you know, kids need to learn about finances. And the process needs to begin when they're young. And I recommend, with your children, you need to introduce basic money management concepts as early as 3 and 4 years old. You know, the responsible parents out there work hard to teach their children how to be self-reliant. And teaching your children how to manage money is a critical part to that. And it will prepare them for a better financial future. So we're going to begin children and money just going through the phases and start with preschool and end all the way up to college. You know, I know they become adults, for many would consider become adults before that, but we're going to start with the preschool years. So like I said earlier, as soon as your children can count, you need to introduce the concept of money. And that's usually, they can start counting between ages 3 and 4. And because they see us when we buy them gifts and toys, and they see us, you know, pay for meals and groceries. They understand, you know, how money is used at that age, or they can. So it's a good age to introduce some basic concepts. And don't forget that children of preschool age, this is very important, children of preschool age, and I have a preschooler myself, you know, be starting kindergarten in August, they base a fair percentage of their learning on observing what us grown folks do. So this time it's time to be especially aware of the messages you're sending to your kids regarding money. So let me give you some tips for the preschool. You know, there's no need to go in a huge amount of detail here, because you know, they are only 3, 4, and 5 years old. Nothing too complex, but just teach your preschooler the difference between pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, and they get it. It took my little one, when he was probably 3 and a half, about 20 minutes to understand the difference. Just teach them about the denominations and what the value of it is. And then another good thing with them to do would be, you know, help them or play grocery store or bank with play money. This is a good way to begin teaching them the value of a dollar. You know, the concept of buying things that you want. You know, you can even go as far as give your child a small amount of money, $1, $5, when you go to the grocery store or Toys R Us or wherever you shop. And then allow them to make their own buying decisions, their own purchases. Then they can hand the money to the cashier. They can get the change back. This is a good way to further their knowledge on how money works. Even if they can't count out the change correctly, it gives them an idea to say, okay, I need more than, it's not as simple as I give you this and give you that. And this is extremely important in today's age, because think about it. What do all of us do? We all use debit cards. We don't carry cash for the most part. I can't remember the last time I've carried over $1 or $2 in cash. So for them, they don't really grasp at the preschool age. They need to understand that money is not a piece of plastic you hand a cashier. It comes in the form of quarters and dimes and dollars and dollar bills and $5 and tens and 20s. So that's why it's extremely more, it's more important now to do that, since they don't see us handling money like we used to 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Okay. Another practical tip: as they become more familiar with the concept of buying things and receiving change, encourage them to take some of that stuff, or some of that money, not stuff, some of that money, and save it for the future. Whether it be just for savings purposes, for savings sake, or for larger purchases. So how many times have you went to the store and you're with your little one and they go, I want to buy that. And you go, that's too expensive for us to get today. So that helps them understand that they put some away for another day, build up a larger amount, they can make larger purchases. That's another good practical tip for a preschooler. And do simple exercises with them. You know, just as we help them learn to count and learn to write and right from wrong and don't do this and do that, play the same type of similar exercises or do the same type of exercises with your preschooler. But lastly, like I said earlier, never forget that they learn by example. So the habits you're portraying with your finances is the things that they're going to pick up on. So the two most important parts there are that they learn by example, and let them, you know, or teach them about the denominations, and also teach them how to physically handle the money, since we don't do it nowadays. We all use debit cards for the most part. So that's the preschool years. So if you have questions today, 893-1450, get 893-1450. So children and money, let's move on. Next would be the elementary school years. You know, by the time your kids are in elementary school, most of them and out there are going to be asking for an allowance. And I don't know your personal belief on it, of whether you think it's necessary to give them an allowance. I know they all, you know, I probably said it when I was a kid. I know I did. But they'll try to convince you, well, all the other kids at school get an allowance. Well, that's, you know, you have your own belief system and how you run your house. But a recent study came out that said about half of the children ages 8 to 14 receive an allowance. So it's not most out there. Some parents believe in it, some parents do not. But if you choose to give your kids an allowance, we're going to talk about what's the best approach to take. Okay. A big no-no here, and this is my personal belief. Now, some parents do not believe in paying an allowance, but instead they just give their children money when the need arises. I don't think that's a good idea. I think that is, you know, that's too much incentive for doing nothing. And that's not how the world works, people. You know, we don't get paid for doing nothing. And I don't think you should teach your kids to do that. So, but the argument is, well, in my household, my children need to do the chores because I tell them to do the chores, not because they get paid. Well, however you want to set up how their allowance works is up to you and your family. But you want to make sure you're just not handing it over to them. Okay. But the other argument or other debate out there is, how much of an allowance is enough? Well, a good way to think about it is, and what I recommend doing, keeping it simple is the biggest part. And I'm trying to put some kind of complex or, you know, formula to it. I recommend giving $1 a week for each age they are. So if they're an 8-year-old, give them $8. If they're 10 years old, give them 10, and so on. But regardless of how much you give them, just remain firm with that. Don't let them say, well, Mom, Dad, I spent my $5 or my $8 or my $10. Can I have more? Now, you need to remain firm. Now, we can't overspend our paycheck and then go back to our boss the very next day and go, hey, I spent my paycheck. Can you give me more? That's not the way the world works. So remain firm in these years, elementary school years. It teaches them to be responsible and independent. And that's a big, important step in money management. But let's also be realistic here. It is not going to be unlikely that your child, or it's not going to be unlikely, he or she is going to overspend or spend more than you give them an allowance. And if that does happen, which it will, I guarantee you, they're going to go blow all their money as soon as they get it, in the beginning at least. Teach them the concept of being responsible with their money, but also use it as a time to educate them on how borrowing works, and interest if you want to take it that far. because they have to understand when they run out of money, there has to be some repercussions. Either they don't get any more because there's no more to be gotten, or they need to know, well, what happens in the real world. In the real world, if we're short on money, there's loans out there. Now, you can use that to teach them about good debt management, or you can say, look, all debt is bad. This is not a discussion today about debt. It's about teaching young ones the reality of how money actually works. Hope that makes some sense. Okay. But finally, if you're paying them an allowance, make sure if you set it up to be paid every Friday or every Saturday that you actually stand by that. Because if we're as adults, when we go out and we work, we expect it to be paid. We expect to be paid on time. Don't be late with your child's allowance. That teaches them too many bad habits. Okay. So we expect to receive our paychecks on time, and so should they. Okay. So that's the allowance issue. Okay. But when you start giving your kids an allowance at the elementary school age, now, in my opinion, is the perfect time, never a better time, to offer or open up a savings account. And when you help them open up a savings account, it shouldn't just be, okay, little Johnny, I gave you $20 this week as an allowance for doing all your chores and whatever amount we came up with. We're going to save some, give some, spend some, and they're saving some in that savings account. Use it as a time to help them understand how the banking system works. Have a simple bookkeeping system where they put in money in the account, they track how much comes out, they track how much is there, teach them how interest works and the future value of interest. Just keep it simple. It doesn't be anything complex, but at that age, in my opinion, I don't think they'll be able to grasp. They'll look at savings as something. If you just say, hey, give me this much money to save and go to the bank and you take care of the whole transaction, and you don't ever educate them on actually where that money goes and how it and what it's for, why are they saving it for, I think they'll view it as a negative. They'll think, well, that's money that's being taken from me. So when you open up a savings account with your elementary school age child, make sure you're educating them on actually how it works. Let them take part in the process. Let them help you with the record keeping. Now, they're probably not going to be able to do it accurately, and they're going to need to do some help from you, but that's your job as a great parent and great grandparent. So let's talk about some practical tips here with your elementary school age child. Remember, if you give them an allowance, do it. And we didn't cover this earlier, but I recommend do it in small denominations. And what do I mean by that? If their amount is $10 a week, just don't give them a $10 bill, because it doesn't encourage savings. So when you give someone 10 $1 bills, you can say, we're going to save $5 of it. We're going to give away $2 of it, and we're going to spend the rest, or whatever it is. However you want to break it down in your family. So by lowering and making it small denominations in the allowance, you encourage those things like giving and savings. Or at least you can take the opportunity to say, how much are we going to give today, little Johnny? How much are we going to save today, little Johnny? How much are we going to spend today? Okay. And going back to the banking part, when they have that savings account, take a moment every week or so, or every month, whatever you see fit, and review with them each transaction in that savings account. Talk about interest. Talk about the future value of that money. Okay. And also, when you're paying that allowance, stand firm on the date. Stand firm on the amount. If you agree to $10 a week, don't give them $15 because they asked for it, and they're going to overspend, and use that time to encourage them about the repercussions of what happens when you don't live within your means. Because let's face it, people, that's the biggest issue. When I said earlier in the opening of the show, when people, they say to me, and I've said it too, I wish someone could have taught me more about money growing up, and maybe I could have avoided some stupid decisions. I don't know. Hindsight's always 20/20. But what I do know is that if you could teach them responsibility now and how the world actually works, it's going to give them a leg up, in my opinion. Okay. And one last tip on your elementary school age child is, if they are committed to saving money, consider giving them a match, just like we would have, or you may have in your retirement plan. And I don't do that so they understand that, well, I have a 401k at work, little Johnny, and they give me a matching contribution. That's not the concept I'm trying to get them to understand here. What I'm trying to get them to do is associate or have good associations with the habit of saving money. Because like I said earlier, if you're just taking the money from the child, from the allowance, say, Johnny, we're going to save this much money this week and I'm forcing you to do it, that may create them to have some bad mental associations with saving. We don't want that. We want good money habits here. So by saying, if you put away $2 of your $10, little Johnny, per week in allowance, I'll actually match you $2. And that way they start seeing that as a positive thing. And they look at the savings account the very next week or the next month or the next 2 months and go, wow, I got this much money in my savings account. That's awesome. So that's what we're trying to do. But going back to when I lost my track of thought earlier, is that's all, when people say that they wish they would have learned more, all they're saying is they wish they would have had built some good, solid foundation associations with being able to live within your means. Because that's simply it, is it not? If everyone lived within their means, we wouldn't need this big, you know, behemoth radio show star we have based out of Nashville. He wouldn't really have a practice. He couldn't sell any books and couldn't sell any seminars. But you know, financial planning is more about is about way more than just living within your means. But that is the foundation. If you can't spend less than you make, you'll never be able to save. You'll never be able to qualify for a home loan or buy the insurance products you need to protect your family and retire and put your kids through college. So that's the foundation of a great financial plan. So you want to start young and create those associations, positive associations, with why they need to live within their means and why it's important to save. As they get older, it's going to benefit them more than you know. Okay, let's take our second break. And we come back. We've already talked about preschool age. We've already talked about elementary school age. We're going to continue on with teaching kids about money, and then we're going to move into middle school, high school, and college-age kids. You're listening to the Financial Doctors Radio Show. Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in chopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Hi, this is Dusty Brown, owner and artist for Dusty Brown Style, a line of distinct accessories and apparel with style and quality, all handcrafted in my Murfreesboro studio. When it comes to my line, each bead is hand-picked for the perfect visual appeal. You'll find beaded necklaces, bracelets, and sterling silver earrings that can't be mistaken for mass-produced big-box items, hitting all of the right notes and created for you by me, Dusty Brown. My color combos and materials set a Dusty Brown piece apart. Antique keys, watches, and lockets adorn sterling silver, copper, and brass chains. Gemstones, wood, and glass beads give my clients quality over quantity. My leather clutches and cuffs are hand-cut from the hide and dyed for the perfect look. If you like what you've heard, take a look at Sugaree's on the Square, Reeves Sane Drugstore, Lime Tiger Studio located on Maple, the Chamber Gift Shop, or MTMC's Gift Shop for Dusty Brown Style. Visit www.dustybrown.net or call 615-439-7836.
Is it time to get rid of that old, worn-out carpet in your home? Replace it with something that enhances not only the beauty, but also the value of your home. Hardwood flooring is the way to go. Stop wasting money on new carpet every 5 years and replace it with something that lasts. Call the folks at Jonathan's Flooring at 207-9680. They specialize in custom sand and finish hardwood, pre-finished hardwood, and all types of laminate flooring. Want to hear something cool? They've been serving Murfreesboro for 12 years, and they have over 100 years of combined experience. And Jonathan's Flooring has a deal for all my listeners. They will beat any written estimate from any legitimate competitor and also guarantee a higher quality of work. So call Jonathan's Flooring today at 615-207-9680 or find them online by going to jasonrecommends at financialdoctors.net.
Your home is your largest investment. If you have storm damage, are looking to remodel, or even to replace your old drafty windows and doors, the quality of work matters when it comes to adding to the value of your home. Don't hire a fly-by-night contractor. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or just drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office. They are a locally owned family business located right here in your hometown. A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau with over 50 years of combined experience. Here's just a few of their specialties. Asphalt and metal roofing, Energy Extreme Vista windows, siding, seamless gutters, and all types of doors for your home. And all work offered by Residential Services of Middle Tennessee is backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. You can count on them to be around since they have been serving our community since 2004. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or online at rsmti.com. And don't forget to drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office and mention the Financial Doctors Radio Show to get 10% off today.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctors Radio Show, where cookie cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. Questions, comments, 893-1450, or go to the website financialdoctors.net and click email the show. What have we talked about this far? It's Kids and Money Hour. All we're talking about is kids and money and how to really change the next generation. If you have children under your roof, you have grandchildren out there, we've talked about preschool age kids and tips with them, we've talked about elementary age children, and if you missed any part of the first half of the show, all this will be on the website come Monday morning, financialdoctors.net, and also be on my blog. You can go to jasonwquals.com. So check that out first part of next week if you missed any of those tips for those age children. So moving on, kids and money, middle school age kids. So as your children approach the teen years, the responsibility of managing money is just, you know, by their age increasing, their responsibility is going to increase. So they start making more frequent and more expensive spending decisions, and it's time to start encouraging your middle school kids to become smart shoppers. You know, and they need to understand the impact, the real impact of having long-term goals. And then they also need to understand and appreciate the value of charitable giving. Okay, and number one to start here is start explaining your family's finances, because of the time they're in middle school, they have an understanding of how the money works in your household. Hopefully by that time you've set, or you have up to this point, if you have middle school children, you've set the example in your household. But this doesn't mean you need to set them down and say, hey, mom and dad make this much per year. It's just they need to be involved in some of the ongoing money decisions in your household so they can really start to learn by example. So here's some of the decisions you need to involve them with or involve them in. How much do you spend on vacations? Where should we go? This is the cost of going to Florida. This is the cost of going to New York, wherever the vacation is. And let them help and be involved on how much to spend on vacation. And if you're charitably inclined or giving inclined in your family, if that's important to you, whether it be tithing at church or giving to other organizations, let them be a part of how much that you're giving away and how much you're giving to each organization. That also is a great one, not just to help them understand we should give, but also how you're making those decisions. So if it's a faith-based decision, you believe in giving 10% of your income to the church in the form of a tithe, or if you just give a lot more than that to other organizations, they need to be involved in that. It's my recommendation. And if you're in a situation where money is a little bit tight, someone lost a job, you've got a decrease in pay, or your expenses have went up, you know, have them be a part of the decisions to what family expenses to cut, because I don't think they're at an age where they could understand if they're in middle school. They say, well, little Johnny or little Susie, you know, times are a little bit tougher now. The economy's changed. We need to start cutting back. You'll no longer be able to go to the mall or the movies every weekend, whatever it is. They need to be involved in what expenses that can be cut. They will understand, but you're setting that example. I've said it from the beginning of the show. You want to make sure you're leading by example. Okay. So on to helping them make wise buying decisions or becoming good shoppers. You know, kids out there, unfortunately, they are probably the biggest target of advertisers out there. They spend millions of bucks on clothes, games, music, and on top of whatever else we have to provide for them. But they're the one of the largest groups of buyers to technology and things of that matter, that area. So young shoppers, if you just look at stats, and if I look back on things that I've done at that age, and we don't really at that age, kids just don't have the knowledge or the understanding to be sharp shoppers. So we need to help them make better money decisions here. So they get most of their buying decisions or motivation to buy from TV and radio and other advertising. So when they're wanting to make a major purchase, and a major purchase is very subjective, but when they buy something like an iPhone or a cell phone, what's something that has a little bit of a cost to it, you need to sit them down and have them go through some simple buying decisions. Will it really do what the commercial said it's going to do? And what about the price? Is this the best price that I can pay for this? The same decisions we make when we're buying something out there, they need to be making the same decision in middle school. Just don't give them the money and say, hey, go to the mall and go buy what you want. You need to help them walk through that, because they're going to have to do that when they become 18, 20, and 25, and for the rest of their life. That's how they're going to be able to make their decisions. So part of spending less than you make and living within your means is making smart buying decisions. Okay? And look at alternative things. Now, does it have to be this certain cell phone? Can it be a comparable competitor's product at a lower cost? And I've had this joking conversation with a lot of people, and it normally is regarding people and their shopping habits for clothing. And it's like, well, it was a sale, so I had to buy four of them to get the 25% deal. So, advertisers know the way we think intellectually, so they understand that how they can advertise and promote certain things that will get us to buy more. It's not a coincidence. So help them kind of sift through, these kind of falsehoods of the sale items that are out there. Okay. And on to the just as important or maybe even more important part of your middle school is need to encourage them to save. This is when, when they have those big decisions to make, have them save for it. Just don't give them the money and say, hey, go buy this new bicycle or this new phone or this $100 pair of jeans, whatever they're wanting. Have them put money aside over a period of time so they understand that things that you want require you to work for them. But not just encourage saving for things they want to buy, encourage saving for things that could be years down the road. They're probably not going to be at that age where they can understand retirement, or nor would they care at that age. They may. You may have just one of these special kids that go, hey, I think I can see the value of having money 20, 30 years down the road. I doubt that's going to be the case. But if you help them understand like compound interest, you put money away in an account and it grows over time, and at some point down the road they can envision how much that's going to be worth, and then they can think, oh, wow, I'll have this much money. Because you got to remember, to kids that age, $5,000 that they may have saved up over a 10-year period could be a lot to them. Where it may not be a lot to you or me at this stage as far as how much we need to have in savings. But to them, that's a huge amount. So get them to buy in and associate positive things with saving money. And lastly, on the middle school age kids, is philanthropy. You want to make sure that they understand that giving is important, because that's when we all get it. We get most of our thoughts about money and all our behaviors we develop as children. Now, many of us go out and later in life we make some stupid mistakes, and I've made many of them. But we make some stupid mistakes, and then that changes our behavior later. But some of those behaviors that we've had that we develop as middle school age kids is what will really impact us going forward. So having them believe that it's important to give money, but also time, is important. Okay, we didn't spend a ton of time on that, and I have a lot more in my notes here, but we're running short on time. So for more, you can always go to financialdoctors.net. On Monday, you'll be able to view every tip that I have for every age level of child. But we're talking about children and money. And now we're going to move on to high school kids. So if you have questions, comments, 893-1450, go to financialdoctors.net. Click email the show. Click Facebook the show. Send us a question. We'll do our best to answer it here live on the show. We have about 10 minutes left today. But let's move into the last two age groups. And that's high school and college age. We're going to have to breeze through this because of time. But if you have a high school age kid, And many of you probably believe the same principle I do. It's time to go get a job. Make your high schooler go to work. I'm not saying they got to work a ton of hours, but nothing will teach them the value of a dollar than having to go out and work for it. Okay? And this is also plays an important role or important part of their life, not just financially. But they understand how to balance their time. They understand that if they have social obligations they want or things they want to do and academic things they want to accomplish, they have to balance all that with work. That's important. We have to do it as adults. They should start learning that as high school kids. And when they're out there looking for that first job, or maybe they're in a position where they want to change jobs, help them fill out the job applications. Help them create a resume if necessary. You know, help them fill out the tax forms that they have to fill out to be hired on. Because I don't know how many times when I was younger that somebody would hand me a W-4 form when I got a new part-time job, and I didn't even have a clue what I was supposed to do. So if your kids are in that situation where they're going out and getting a part-time job, help them fill out the tax forms and understand what it means to check zero dependents, one dependent, all that kind of stuff. And then you can take the time to explain to them Medicare and Social Security tax. Because when they get paid a paycheck, and not just those taxes, income taxes too, when they get paid a paycheck, just like you or I, we owe taxes on that money. So use that as a perfect time to teach them about how it works. Okay? So that's the two tips there, I think, when you have that teenager. Get them out there and get them a job. Help them with interview skills and filling out the application. Resumes if necessary. Teach them about taxes, Social Security, Medicare, income taxes. And it may be a time to have a conversation of where we think the Social Security stuff is going. You know, you're not going to be able to engage them a ton at this age, but you can give them the basic concepts that will serve them later in life. And another good thing you can do with your high school age kid is let them do some of the shopping for the household. Let them go to the grocery store for you. I think that's important. Give them a budget. Say, here, I got $100 to spend at the grocery store. Here's what I need. Go make it happen. It's a great learning experience for them. And it's also a good time to start sharing with them the other things that you do in your household. Now, I had Mike Workman with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. As you know, help have them sit down with you and pay the bills and explain to them, this is why I pay this much. This is what I'm paying for. Anything you can involve them in that's really going to serve them, that they're going to have to one day do themselves, is what you should be doing with them at the high school teenage years. So I hope that makes some sense. So running short on time again, 893-1450. We're glad you're listening to the Financial Doctors Radio Show. We're talking about kids and money. And the last part of the show is the college age kid. You know, by this time, if we've done a good job, that they understand basic money management principles. So if you're sending your kid away for school, you know, and if whether they're working their way through school or you're going to help with a part of their expenses, you need to have a plan. Now, we haven't mentioned budgeting for the most part of the entire show, but now is a definite time when kids have to be more self-reliant. They need a budget. Help them do a budget. Have a plan. If they're going to be required to work this many hours and pay for this much of their expenses while they're in school, they need to understand, where does each dollar come from? Where does it all go? Help them do it. Keep them, hold them accountable. Just don't give them a budget for them. Say, here you go, Johnny and Susie, go do a budget. Good luck at school. See you next semester. You need to set out, hold them accountable, because that's our biggest thing as adults. We're busy. We all know we should budget. We all know we should spend less than we make. But why don't we? Because we get busy. We get complacent. You don't think that they're going to have that mentality or more of that in college? So they need to be held accountable. So your job as a parent, set them down. Say, hey, did you do your budget this month? Let's look at it. Where did you overspend? Where did you underspend? And help them get better at it. Because once they get out of school, it's going to be all on their own for the most part. And lastly, we've all heard this. Credit cards are so readily available in school. Teach them about how debt works. You know, we'd probably need to have that conversation before the college age, but definitely in school, when they're at that 18-year-old age where they understand, well, they actually know they can go out and get a credit card, teach them how debt works, why it's good, why it's bad, whatever your belief system is in it. Now, I have my own beliefs in financial planning, but in my regard to this situation, I don't think college-age kids are responsible enough to have a credit card, even if you believe in debt or you don't believe in debt, good or bad debt. So at this age, I think you just need to tell them to avoid credit cards altogether, but they do need to be educated. So just don't say, don't get a credit card, Johnny and Susie, and don't give them any reasoning behind it. You need to make sure you're telling them why. Give them some real life experience. Say, hey, son or daughter, I made a stupid mistake when I was your age, and I learned from that. Here's what I want you to learn from it. Here's why I'm saying no credit cards. So I hope that makes some sense. So we've covered a lot today, and it's been a Kids and Money Hour. The full show was devoted to kids and money. We talked about preschool. We talked about elementary school. We talked about high school, college aides, all that, and the important tips. And again, it's all going to be on the website come Monday. You can also always listen to the podcast by going financialdoctors.net. That'll be available maybe as soon as tomorrow, but no later than Monday. So if you've missed any part of this show, say you had a four-year-old and you missed the preschool age tips and you want to go back and listen to that, please do so. We're so glad you're with us today. So another important tip before we close out the show, you know, don't feel like you have to do this alone. You know, if you're working with a real financial planner, ask them their opinion of it. You know, they can sit down with you, and it should be an important part of your financial coaching with your financial advisors, that kids and money should be a part of that discussion at some point. You know, it's not as relevant to maybe your retirement or things like that, but it should be your financial advisor, financial planner should be a resource for you at this point. So don't be afraid to ask them. And if you have questions you want to ask me off the air, you can always call me, 878-2134, or go to financialdoctors.net and send us an email. But as we close the show, teaching kids about money, it isn't easy. Especially, I think the biggest fear that people have is they think, well, I don't know. I don't know everything there is to know. I don't know the right way to do it. It's not that kind of difficult. It's as far as how much can you have them comprehend at a certain age is what I mean. It's not easy. I believe you just keep it simple. Spend the time with them. Teach them about your mistakes. Teach them just basic, simple money management principles. I think they'll be way ahead of the game. Okay? And start as soon as you can. If you have a middle school age child right now, don't feel like it's too late. And if you have a preschool age child, don't feel like it's too soon. If they can count, they need to be learning about money. Okay? Hope that makes some sense. So it's time to say our goodbyes. Remember, I said it in the beginning of the show, real financial planning is objective. It covers your entire financial life. That's what we're about here on the Financial Doctor Show. We cover a lot of different topics. We try to look at it as an objective area. We want to make sure we're giving you sound advice, not some type of one size fits all, not related to some financial product. Because remember, financial planning doesn't always involve selling financial products. If you need an objective second opinion, go see a fee only financial planner. Go see a financial planner that does not sell financial products. And I want to say something, get this straight out there. I don't think that everybody out there selling financial products is a bad person. Let me just go ahead and lay that out there. I've said it before. I don't think that they're crooks. I think many of them are very ignorant, but that doesn't make them bad people. But my belief is if you sell something, you cannot be truly objective. That is my belief. And especially when you're working with personal finance, if someone has something to sell you, how do you know what they're recommending is better for their pocket or yours? And you don't. That's why I have that belief system. That doesn't mean they're bad people. I just want you to be aware that most financial advisors are really salespeople. So for an objective second opinion, call me, 878-2134, or go to jasonwqualls.com. Thanks to our producer Zach Troutman today, and Mike Workman was here earlier before he had to head off to the T-ball field, and we're glad you listened today. And until next week, I'm Jason Qualls, certified financial planner and fee-only financial life coach. Thanks for listening to the Financial Doctors Radio Show, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Hi, this is Dusty Brown, owner and artist for Dusty Brown Style, a line of distinct accessories and apparel with style and quality, all handcrafted in my Murfreesboro studio. When it comes to my line, each bead is hand-picked for the perfect visual appeal. You'll find beaded necklaces, bracelets, and sterling silver earrings that can't be mistaken for mass-produced big-box items, hitting all of the right notes and created for you by me, Dusty Brown. My color combos and materials set a Dusty Brown piece apart. Antique keys, watches, and lockets adorn sterling silver, copper, and brass chains. Gemstones, wood, and glass beads give my clients quality over quantity. My leather clutches and cuffs are hand-cut from the hide and dyed for the perfect look. If you like what you've heard, take a look at Sugaree's on the Square, Reeves Sane Drugstore, Lime Tiger Studio located on Maple, The Chamber Gift Shop, or MTMZ's Gift Shop for Dusty Brown Style. Visit www.dustybrown.net or call 615-439-7836.
Is it time to get rid of that old, worn-out carpet in your home? Replace it with something that enhances not only the beauty, but also the value of your home. Hardwood flooring is the way to go. Stop wasting money on new carpet every 5 years and replace it with something that lasts. Call the folks at Jonathan's Flooring at 207-9680. They specialize in custom sand and finish hardwood, pre-finished hardwood, and all types of laminate flooring. Want to hear something cool? They've been serving Murfreesboro for 12 years, and they have over 100 years of combined experience. And Jonathan's Flooring has a deal for all my listeners. They will beat any written estimate from any legitimate competitor and also guarantee a higher quality of work. So call Jonathan's Flooring today at 615-207-9680 or find them online by going to jasonrecommends at financialdoctors.net.
Your home is your largest investment. If you have storm damage, are looking to remodel, or even to replace your old drafty windows and doors, the quality of work matters when it comes to adding to the value of your home. Don't hire a fly-by-night contractor. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or just drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office. They are a locally owned family business located right here in your hometown. A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau with over 50 years of combined experience. Here's just a few of their specialties. Asphalt and metal roofing, Energy Extreme Vista windows, siding, seamless gutters, and all types of doors for your home. And all work offered by Residential Services of Middle Tennessee is backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. You can count on them to be around since they have been serving our community since 2004. Protect your investment and call Residential Services of Middle Tennessee at 907-3040 or online at rsmti.com. And don't forget to drop by their showroom at 1015 South Church Street right next to the post office and mention the Financial Doctors Radio Show to get 10% off today. Hey.